Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Monday, April 27th, 2026, in the Gregorian calendar, and the 10th of Iyar, 5786, in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. Iran has proposed a deal with the United States to reach an agreement which would reopen the Strait of Hormuz and end the war. Negotiations regarding Iran's nuclear program, ding, 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 however, have continued to get postponed. Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi briefly returned to Islamabad after visiting Oman on Saturday, despite U.S. President Trump called off the planned trip of his special envoys, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. He had told them not to bother going and said it was, quote, too much time wasted on traveling and too much work. President Trump said on Sunday that if they wish to speak, they could reach Washington by phone. It's unclear whether Trump would agree to push nuclear talks to a later date. Israel, which has not been involved in the Islamabad negotiations, has insisted that the U.S. put an end to the nuclear program as part of any deal. Pakistan, the host of these discussions, does not recognize Israel as a state. An Israeli soldier was killed and six others were wounded in a Hezbollah explosive drone strike in southern Lebanon just a day ago. That was on Sunday. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed to act forcefully in response to the drone attack, which happened amidst a supposed ceasefire between Hezbollah and Israel. The IDF says after the incident, it launched a series of airstrikes and artillery fire in southern Lebanon, hitting Hezbollah fighters and facilities located north of Israel's designated security zone. Under the terms of the agreement, Israel reserves the right to respond to planned, imminent, or ongoing attacks. What had happened was that a tank of an armored brigade got stuck in the southern Lebanese town of Taibeh, which is within the Israeli established security buffer. While the troops were working to repair the tank, an explosive-filled drone struck next to them. An officer and three troops were seriously wounded. One soldier was moderately injured and another soldier was lightly injured. An Israeli Air Force helicopter was dispatched to take the wounded troops to a hospital. During evacuation efforts, Hezbollah launched two more explosive-filled drones at the forces, with one of those drones being intercepted by the soldiers, but the other one, the second one, struck near the troops and the helicopter without causing additional injuries or damage. The soldier who was killed has been identified as 19-year-old Idan Fuchs from Petach Tikva. He was a fighter in the 7th Armored Brigade's 77th Battalion. Fuchs is the third soldier to be killed in southern Lebanon during the ceasefire, and the first in a direct Hezbollah attack. The other two soldiers were killed by bombs previously planted by the terror group, with the military continuing to investigate. The Israel Daily News sends its heartfelt condolences to the friends, family, and community of Idan Fuchs, and we hope that his comrades heal up back to normal. The Israeli High Court of Justice declined to order the government to establish an official state inquiry of the Hamas invasion and atrocities of October 7th, 2023, and once again gave the government another 2 months to establish an official framework for a state-backed investigation. The court said in its decision that the time has long come to begin investigating the events of October 7th, but adds that the government nevertheless has broad discretion as to how to implement the obligations incumbent upon it to conduct such investigations. Seems like there is a big inquiry about the official state inquiry. The court says, we have deemed it appropriate at this stage to allow the government an additional period of some 2 months in the hope that it will soon find a suitable framework for investigating the October 7th events, which will gain broad public backing. The court's justices also state that the court does not have the authority to review government decisions in establishing state-backed investigations. Last week, while hearings were ongoing, pro-government activists forcibly tried to enter the courtroom in protest of the hearing itself. Inside the courtroom, the justices were highly critical of the government's failure to establish an investigation already into the massacre and the failures leading up to it. It is certainly a hot topic, and people who were affected firsthand by the atrocities of October 7th are not happy. Former Prime Ministers Naftali Bennett and Yair Lapid announced that their two parties, Yesh Atid, which is run by Yair Lapid, and Bennett 2026, Naftali Bennett, will merge into one joint party called Together, and it will be led by Bennett. A recent poll from the Hebrew language Ma'ariv news site showed Bennett 2026 and Netanyahu's Likud party tied with 24 seats, and Yesh Atid only received 7. Bennett and Lapid are also leaving room open for Yeshar party chairman and former IDF chief of staff Gadi Eisenkot to join in their merger. On Saturday evening, former member of Knesset Matan Kahana, who resigned from the Knesset last year to join Yeshar, said he would remain a member despite speculation that he would join Bennett's party. Naftali Bennett and Yair Lapid worked side by side in 2021 to 2022, when together they led a short-lived, diverse unity government made up of left, center, and right-wing parties. Yair Lapid is also the current Israeli opposition leader. And just a note about how Israeli elections work. I did a deep dive on this with our political analyst, Binyamin Moalem, and you can hear all about how the Israeli elections work and how parties work. Here in Israel, we vote for parties, not people. And based on how much support the parties each get a number of seats. And then they have a long list, and they put in at the top of their list into those seats in the Knesset, and everyone who doesn't make it onto an official seat in the Knesset has a role within the party, but they're not a member of Knesset. They're a member of the party. Last night, I attended another political salon. I went to one of Einat Wilf a couple months back. This is the way parties and individuals do their campaigning here in Israel, through small forums in the home. The leader of the Democrats Party, Yair Golan, was the speaker last night. I caught up with him and asked the retired military general if he could share in English some of what he discussed in Hebrew with the listeners of the Israel Daily News podcast. Yair Golan is the former deputy chief of staff of the IDF and former leader of the Labor Party, who created the Democrats, as they are called, in July 2024 by merging the Labor Party and Meretz. Meretz is a flagship left-wing party here in Israel. They actually did not make it into the coalition the last go-around. They didn't have enough seats. Golan was extra friendly and polite. He made time for us after he spoke with all the individuals from the salon who wanted a word with him when he came off of the stage, but he still carved out time against the will of his press secretary to answer all of our questions. You better believe that I am tough, and I usually get what I want. So we got those questions answered. He said he was impressed with my portable audio-visual setup. Shout out to Ishai Shapir, who is my technology consultant over in New York. We got some good feedback from Yair Golan on my setup when I roll up to these events. Let's hear what Yair Golan had to say. So what were the highlights for you from tonight's event?
You mean the...
Yes. What were the most important things that people asked you? What do you think was the most important things that you addressed?
I think at first it's to understand the challenge for Israel right now. And it's a mixture of, on the one hand, deep corruption, deep public corruption, with extreme nationalism, with religious fundamentalism. So this is the challenge, the overall challenge for the Israeli society and for Israel as a state. We can change, we can take responsibility for our destiny, and we can change the course, the current course, in order to bring back Israel to the very fundamental values of the Declaration of Independence, to the very basic values of Judaism, and to the very basic values of humanity. And I think this is the overall issue.
What would you say to the international Jewish community that stands with Israel but feel conflicted about settler violence and really the response from the international community saying that Israel has taken the war too far, been too violent? You know, I think it's very easy for us here in Israel to live a Jewish life and forget about the experience of Jews outside of Israel that are represented by Israelis and Israeli policy. What would you say to that community?
Yeah. Israel is the homeland of the Jewish people, not the homeland of the Israelis, the homeland of the Jewish people. And unfortunately, this government neglected this very basic principle. So if you think about Israel as the homeland of the Jewish people, then Israel must represent, in a way, the values, the core values of Judaism, the core values of the Jews in the diaspora. Most of them live in liberal democratic states. Most of them want to see Israel as part of other nations, other advanced nations, other nations that still hold the very core values of humanity. So I think this is the issue. And we should recapture the core values of Judaism in order to influence the rest of the world. From my perspective, the Jewish people has a mission. And this mission should be around bringing more and more good to the world. We call it in Hebrew Tikkun Olam. So let's do it. Well, we need to forge our campaign around two main issues. First is security. How to secure the existence of Israel. It could not be done only by military measures. It should be with other, you know, economical, social, diplomatic measures as well. It's extremely important. And the second issue is how to stabilize the Israeli democracy. The Israeli democracy is quite weak right now. So in a way, we need to restart our democratic project.
Yair Golan is campaigning for the Democrats Party, which will be looking to gain seats in the upcoming October elections. A lot of you are already getting summaries of my podcast through Podsnacks in your email inbox. A lot of you have given me really good feedback that the summaries are great and that it also serves as a reminder that the podcast has dropped. When the podcast drops, this service that I use called Podsnacks makes an automated email summary of what I discuss in the podcast and then it goes into your inbox. If you want episode summaries in your email inbox, you have to go over to podsnacks.com. It is spelled how it sounds, podsnacks.com. Enter your email address, tap the ticket icon, you'll see a little ticket, and enter the code EXJ67. You'll get a free email every time we drop a new episode. That's only if you're getting the code from Israel Daily News. That is EXJ67. And I'll also add that to our show notes. A big deal and a big announcement for us, the Israel Daily News has now its own direct donation platform. After losing dozens of supporters of the Israel Daily News podcast last year during Spotify's takeover of my distribution site, which used to be called Anchor FM, listeners got tossed off the platform, but we are back. We have our own site. Listeners can contribute monthly or make a one-time donation to the Israel Daily News directly through our website, israeldailynews.org. Click on donate. Special thank you to our loyal supporters like Marianne Vollinger for sticking through our transition and trying to support us while we lost some support of some dozens of podcast subscribers. If that is you, Lodem, please sign yourself first ever ambassador to Somaliland. The support helps keep our independent journalism alive and growing. I'm here on the ground. I'm not a foreign correspondent that comes in for 1 week and thinks that I'm an Israel expert. I live here. I've had a missile blow up my apartment. I've been all over this country reporting, so you can trust that this is all coming straight from the source. You can also follow Israel Daily News across our platforms. Our Instagram page is just about 60,000 followers, so you want to see our video reports there. Israel's cabinet appointed Michael after Israel's historic recognition of the self-governed nation in December 2025. Foreign Minister Gideon Sa'ar visited Somaliland in January, so just a handful of months ago. In the beginning stage, Lotem will serve as an official non-resident ambassador, reflecting the early stages of formal ties between the two nations. Lotem previously served as Israel's ambassador
to Kenya,
ever special envoy
to the Christian
and
world.
Kazakhstan. In February, Somaliland appointed Dr. Mohammed Hajj as its first ever ambassador to Israel. The announcement about Lotem also included the appointment of Yahel Vilan as the next Israeli ambassador to Singapore and East Timor. Vilan also previously served as the Israeli ambassador to Kenya and Serbia. Israel is the first and only UN member state to recognize Somaliland as an independent sovereign nation. Israel has appointed George Deek a new role created on April 23rd, 2026. The move comes after a series of incidents that have shaken up Christian communities, mainly an incident in which an IDF soldier was pictured taking an axe to a statue of Jesus in southern Lebanon. But there were other concerns, including restrictions on Christian worship in Jerusalem during Holy Week. However, there was also a heavy week of shelling here in Israel during the height of the Iran-Israel confrontation, and Israeli officials said the hesitation to open the churches was really about security. Critics argued that they violated religious freedom. The IDF condemned the soldiers' actions that we mentioned happened in Lebanon, saying that they go against military values, and they did repair the damage onto that statue and actually replaced it with a new one. Christians make up about 2% of Israel's population. They are mostly Arab Christians. Deke himself is an Arab Christian from Jaffa and a veteran diplomat who previously served as Israel's ambassador to Azerbaijan. In his new role, Deke will work to strengthen ties with Christian communities around the world, engage with church leaders and organizations, and help repair strained relations. He'll also represent Israel internationally and lead public diplomacy efforts on religious freedom. We here at the Israel Daily News welcome this and think that this is a very, very important move. I personally have a lot of connections to the Christian world, both here in the Holy Land and abroad. And I think this is a great move by Israel to have someone who is managing the relationships on a governmental level. All right, well, we have some breaking news coming in. There's a young woman named Emma Kaufman who is making her bat mitzvah this upcoming weekend. Her father reached out to me with the following message. I'm going to try not to cry while I read it to you. This came to me on Instagram. Shanna, I wanted to reach out to you as we are 1 week away from my daughter Emma becoming bat mitzvah to say that you have made an impact on her and her support for Israel. Every day on the way to school, she asks if another podcast has been dropped so that she can recite your opening along with you and listen to the updates. On many days, she proudly wears a blue square pin and has asked for the 100th anniversary of Jewish Scouting to be a patch added to her uniform to show her support for Israel and our Jewish community. Thank you for what you do and the impact you make. We hope you are piecing your home back together and glad you are safe. Shabbat shalom. Now, this proud father is referring to the missile that tore up my home back in June. It came from Iran, and yes, I have rebuilt my life and the Israel Daily News studio. Thank you to the dad extraordinaire, Sam Kaufman, and Mazel Tov to Emma for being so informed at such a young age and doing all that you can to make sure that you are proudly Jewish. 12-year-old Emma, you do not know the impact that you're making on your community and other kids who might be scared to show their Jewish identity. Kol hakavod, all the respect goes to you. All right, well, that is it for today's show. Today is Monday, April 27th. 2025, Tel Aviv has a low of 17 degrees Celsius and a high of 20 degrees. That's 63 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 68 degrees for the high. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. And of course, with a personal note from me at the top, you can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org and scroll down to the bottom. Drop your email address in to get on our weekly mailing. I want to thank our news writer, Perry Schwartz, who's been on top of the news updates and wrote some stories in today's news, as well as a thank you to our editor and assistant producer, Lori. Have a great and productive day and an excellent week. Shavua Tov, everyone.